We begin with a remarkable story about vampire bats running on treadmills. It might sound like something from a popular horror novel, but it's a serious research piece that aims to gain a better understanding of a mystery that has surrounded vampire bats. What is going on with their metabolism that lets them keep up such an active lifestyle on a diet so heavily propped up by blood? Here's Ken Welch at the University of Toronto.
Blood is very rich in proteins. Think of all the hemoglobin that's floating around in our red blood cells, and all of the albumin and the other proteins that make up part of the plasma in our blood. But the other components of the diet that we think about other than proteins are carbohydrates, sugars, and starches, and then fats. And in a traditional mammalian diet or a typical mammalian diet, it is a diet that's relatively well-rounded, having lots of carbohydrates in it, some fats, and some proteins, some amino acids. So their diet is just kind of really lacking almost all of the carbohydrate and lipid components and has this excess of protein and an excess of iron, because a lot of that protein is the hemoglobin that has the iron in it.
So something must be going on for them to still be able to run so efficiently and quickly. How does That's that go from you theorizing that to a bat ending up on a treadmill?
Well, if we wanted to investigate the metabolism of flying things like bats and hummingbirds and other birds, for most of those animals, you need to let them fly in a wind tunnel. But it's really hard to study the physiology of an animal that's flying around freely. And it's very difficult to get access to a large flight tunnel where you can really interrogate these things. But with vampire bats, they don't hover. But we knew that they were actually pretty good on the treadmill. And it was in conversation with those scientists in Belize, in between other experiments, that I kind of became convinced that it would be really quite possible to get them to run on the treadmill for extended periods of time so that we could actually measure their metabolism while they were doing this.
So by analyzing what comes out when they respire, you were able to see what they're using as fuel for this running.
So the oxygen that you and I are taking in from the environment around us, and we're breathing out CO2, other animals are doing that as well. And so just like we can put a human on an exercise bike or on a treadmill so that we can capture their exhaled breath, well, we can't necessarily convince a vampire bat to wear a mask. But if we make the treadmill small enough, we can stick it inside of a chamber and we can measure the air coming out of the backside of that chamber where that bat is running, which includes some of its breath.
So what did you find out?
First and foremost, we found out that they're oxidizing chemicals, that they're producing energy to sustain running at a very high rate. But in addition to that, we wanted to actually say, what fuel source are they burning? And for that, we needed a way to kind of label something and look for it to be produced. And what we're looking for in this case is a certain, if you will, flavor of carbon dioxide that has a carbon 13 molecule in it rather than a carbon 12 molecule. These are isotopes of carbon. Your audience might be familiar with carbon 14. That's the radioactive form of carbon. That's used in radiocarbon dating. Well, carbon 13 is not radioactive, so we don't need extra permits to work with it. But if we can buy certain chemicals, be they sugars or lipids or amino acids that are very, very enriched in this rare form of carbon, we can use special laser techniques to measure that and tell the difference between those two forms of carbon. So we gave the bats a blood meal just prior to running them on the treadmill, to which we had added a small amount of the amino acid glycine or the amino acid leucine that was enriched with this carbon 13 molecule. And if the bats started to use those amino acids, as well as the amino acids in their blood meal, as their fuel, then when they're oxidizing those things in their muscle mitochondria, that's what's becoming the CO2 that's being breathed out. So we look for the signature of that special heavy form of carbon dioxide coming out in their breath. And we saw that very, very rapidly, that signature went very high, as high as 60%, meaning 60% of the CO2 molecules that they were breathing out had the signature consistent with the amino acids in the meal we'd just given them. It looked like they were relying mostly or exclusively even on the amino acids, the building blocks of the proteins that were there in that blood meal. So not only were they, yes, seeming to power their running essentially exclusively with protein oxidation, but they were doing so using amino acids that they'd ingested just moments before. So they were bringing these into their system and using them extremely quickly.
Do we have any idea how they might be doing this?
So what we think is going on is that in their cells, muscle cells especially, the biochemical pathways that utilize carbohydrates or that utilize lipids to burn them for energy are expressed at lower levels potentially, and they've really ramped up the biochemical pathways that do break down amino acids and have just sort of supercharged those. That said, we want to understand if the way that vampire bats' metabolism has been supercharged to use amino acids, is it exactly the same as the way that, for example, the tsetse fly or a female mosquito that feeds on a blood meal? Is it the same way that their pathways are enhanced, or are there differences? Are all amino acids equally good as a fuel if you're a vampire bat? Lots of those questions are still left to be explored and reasons to go down to Belize the next time around and study them again.
And just one last question. And not that I'm worried about it at all, but I feel compelled to ask, how quickly can they run, just out of interest?
Well, we were pushing them to 30 meters per minute. That's almost 100 feet per minute. Now, you and I can probably outrun that, but we didn't get them to their maximum. They can potentially go faster. We didn't have time to test it. And back in 2005, the treadmill that Dan Riskin and John Hermanson used was run with a drill to make the rotor spin, and they couldn't get it to go any faster than the maximum that they hit. So these guys still have some surprises up their sleeves, as it were.
That was Ken Welch at the University of Toronto, and I would heavily recommend seeking out the footage of the bats running. It really is quite something. That study has just been published in Biology Letters.